Hit a swing and a long one center field. This is tag, bag, two-run homer. Honka did exactly what he does most of the time. He goes deep somewhere in the ballpark, way out of here. 8-6 White Sox.
A big-time blast by the left-hander Daniel Palka. It's White Sox Weekly. My name is Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. This man who we're about to talk to, 18 years in the big leagues.
Harry, is that good?
18 years, 1,064 games, 1,041 strikeouts, 158 saves, and just incredibly good-looking fellow on television these days for the MLB Network.
There's only, in the history of the sport, there's only six people that have appeared on the mound more than this guy in a baseball game.
And of course, you remember him on Comcast Sportsnet at Chicago. Dan Plesac, thank you for taking time this afternoon, sir.
Mark Tiny, how are you guys? Nice to be on the airwaves.
It is wonderful to have you. We think of you as a Chicago kid. It's great to have you back on the air in Chicago on WGN.
And a White Sox winner today, 8-7, right? They have to hang on. It gets a little bit dicey. Hey, how about this Polka guy, huh? Man.
He's got some stick. He's got some serious muscle.
Does he ever, huh? You know what? You know, it's been a little bit of a disappointing year, and I get it. I know that expectations going in were that, you know, it was a team getting better in transition, but I'm kind of hoping in the next 6 to 8 weeks that you start to see some improvement. I think Carlos Rondon is going to be part of this thing when it's good again. Lucas Giolito, it's been one good, one bad. He's had some issues throwing strikes. Colby's been a nice find. It's going to be interesting to see how this starting pitching develops going into 2019 and beyond.
It's interesting that you bring up Carlos Rodon, Dan, because he's a guy right now that, to me, looks like he's fully back and healthy, the shoulder, but he'll dial up the velocity when things get a little dicier later in the game. Like, he'll start out throwing 91, 92, and then all of a sudden he'll bring it up to 96. I mean, when you see a guy that's able to do that, does it make you think, like, oh, well, he's not throwing that way consistently, so maybe something's wrong? Or is it, well, this is a guy who really knows how to pitch?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know what's the problem is in the day and age that we're in right now, we're building them bigger, stronger, than faster than ever, but they're not lasting very long, and we're not getting a lot of innings, and we've gone, like, way overboard with this bullpenning thing. Like, it's becoming the craze, but it's going to the next level, and quite honestly, we're going to keep blowing out arms, and I get it, and that's why I think you see teams that have good bullpens 1 year, next year they're not so good. Look at the Rockies. They spent over $30 million in that bullpen. Wade Davis has really struggled. McGee has really struggled. They've had a really rough go, the Rockies. And you want to go that bullpen, you want to do that route, and you go to it early and you go to it often. You pay the price for it. I'd like to see the White Sox start to develop some guys that can eat up some innings. If they can do that, I think they've got something to look forward to in the future.
Danny, the White Sox got the big, gigantic home run from Daniel Palka in the ninth inning today. I told Carm, I'm going to tell you who he tied. He's tied with a certain former White Sox for most pinch homers in the season. It's only three, so I think Palka will pass it this year. But I told Carm, I said, I bet I know what Plesac will say when I tell him the player that he is tied with. The all-time record for pinch homers in the season by a White Sox player is three. Daniel Palka is tied with Oscar Gamble.
Get out of here! Really?
Yeah,
I would have never guessed. I would have never guessed Oscar Gamble.
You hear Oscar Gamble? What the first thing you think of?
Afro, the big fro hanging
ding,
out of
ding,
his hat.
Ding 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 ding.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, we have a winner.
Wow! I would have never. I would have never come up with that one. You could have convinced me. Maybe Ron Kittle. You could have maybe. You know, Richie Zisk, you could have thrown me a lot of different guys. I would have never guessed Oscar Gamble.
See, Harry just feels so good right now, Dan, because he's just smiling that he knows you so well, which I think for you might be a little bit concerning. I don't know how this is, you know.
See, before he was this great announcer, he was this major league star, all-star, and he played almost two decades. But before that, he was a fan, and that's what makes Plesac so cool.
And you know, and at times, you know, on the national side of it, you know what it is, Harry? I'm like you are with sports. I love baseball. I like a good story. I like fun teams. Of course, there are teams that are closer to me. The Cubs, the White Sox, the Brewers, teams that I play with, my last team, the Phillies. But, like, I'm on the field for Game 7 of the World Series last year between the Astros and Dodgers. And I mean, I'm just so happy to be – I mean, how lucky you are to be on the field 45 minutes before the first pitch of Game 7, electric atmosphere. I'm just rooting for nobody to be the ball crew go through the legs like Bill Buckner. I'm rooting for, you know, the pitcher not to give up a grand slam in the ninth inning. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to see a good game. I want to be entertained. And more, I just love baseball. And I have, Harry, since I started listening to you guys on the radio and grew up in Northwest Indiana. And I mean, it's just a part of what I am. And I try to look at it this, the way I go about doing what I do, some people like it. I'm sure there's some people don't. I try to look at it, the glass half full. There's a lot more positives about sports, about baseball. The negatives, you can get stuck up and hung up on PEDs and the DH and the commissioner and all these things. You know what? I like to focus on the positive things, you know, and that's the way I look at it.
Hey, speaking of the Phillies, I saw you a couple weeks ago in those road retro powder blues throwing out the first pitch. Looks like you could still go get a couple batters.
Oh, Tiny, you talking about a nervous wreck. Now, that's one of the few ballparks I never pitched in. My last year, 03, was the last year of the vet. So there's a lot of familiarity that goes along with playing in the big leagues, like a ballpark, a mound that you're comfortable with. When the Phillies asked me to throw out that first pitch, I was horrifically nervous. And the only thing that calmed me down is I went in the batting cage before, and I played about 5 minutes. I threw balls into the screen to get loose. And then when I found out I was throwing the pitch to the fanatic, it made me feel better, because if I had to throw to a regular player that was getting down, all he said was, I have a hard time seeing in this thing. Just don't throw it too hard. And I was like, right up my alley, man. I threw a nice little four-seam cut fastball for a called strike. And, Harry, I was so happy to be done with it, but it was a blast.
I feel a little bit just off kilter here that the fanatic actually talked to Plesac. Like,
yeah, he's not supposed to. I know. I know. But he wasn't wearing a protective cup. He said, don't throw it hard. Don't bounce it. I'm not protected, if you know what I mean. I said, got it. I'll try to get it there on a fly.
Carm and I are wearing protective cups right now.
Hey, there's, you know, as much as the balls are flying out, if you're watching a game sitting at home, you should be wearing one. Man, the ball's flying out of the ballpark this year. Hey, what's going on with the Cubs? Looks like they're in a bad end of one this afternoon, right?
Yes, they are. They're not doing well. 10-5 last we saw. You know, speaking of the Phillies, they honored the 2008 Tampa Rays yesterday, and James Shields won game two of that World Series, as I know you're aware of.
Yes.
He talked about how the Rays were a 90-loss team who then went to the World Series. He said they were in the playoffs 4 out of 6 years. They went to the World Series, and he sees the White Sox doing that. Is that crazy, or can you see the White Sox doing that?
No. You know what, Harry? This is what's going to have to happen. Yan Moncada is going to have to be that guy. I'm a big Abreu guy. He's a solid player. What they need are what happened with the Astros, the Cubs, and the Rays, the good teams. They need Longoria. They need Correa. They need Chris Bryant. They need Anthony Rizzo. They need their guys that they're really counting on. They need Moncada to be that guy that everybody in the industry thinks is a can't-miss player. And if he's a can't-miss and he's an everyday guy that has power from both sides, he can steal your base, a good defender, if he's that guy, they'll get better in a hurry, because I think their young pitching is going to come around. I love the arms. The worst thing, don't worry about putting together a bullpen yet. They've got time to get a bullpen together. They need these position players to shake themselves out, to find out which are going to be the guys who are going to be there when they're good, and they've got to find out what kind of player Moncada is.
Great, Dan Plesac with us here on White Sox Weekly on Twitter. It's at Plesac19. All right, I think Eloy Jimenez is also the guy that you're talking about here, Dan.
Amen.
Right? And he's crushing it at Triple-A, but the White Sox are a 41-70 team that it's hard to imagine they're going to make the jump in 2019 to, you know, be winning a World Series. Maybe that's looking a little bit more like 2020 at this point, that the Sox are in that, you know, at least competing to be in the playoffs, all that. So my question is this. Do you take a guy like that who's really proving that he doesn't need to be a Triple-A anymore and bring him up and start his service time, or do you wait until next season because, hey, you know, most likely we're still in hopefully towards the end of the rebuild next year and we save a guy and don't give him the experience? Like, how much do you think it hurts him to not have the experience of being in the big leagues now?
I think it would do, it would serve him well to maybe, I don't want to say you got to be careful to start the clock and not get this clock too started, because then the salary arbitration, the free agency kicks in earlier than you want. And listen, the Cubs went through that with Chris Bryant. This is the positive, that I think that if you call him up maybe in the month of September and you get him a week to 10 days, or you get him some at bats and you get him used to that environment, used to the guys, used to the space of the game at the big league level, and then when he comes into spring training, he's kind of gotten a little taste of it, and he gets there, and he doesn't feel like the whole thing is so foreign to him. I mean, you go to spring training with the big league club, and then they send guys out right away, but I think it would be important for him, even if it was just a call-up for a week to 10 days, to let him be around the guys, be around the cage, take some BP, maybe get some at-bats in a game, and then he'll have some confidence, and it also will shoot his desire to the moon during the winter to get himself ready to try to make a team out of spring training.
Dylan Covey gets the nod against the Yankees tomorrow night. Ronaldo Lopez has been good. He's slowing down lately, but Giolito was terrific, and he'll get Severino on Wednesday. They're looking at Michael Kopech, who they got in the sale trade with Moncada. They're looking at Dylan Cease, who came over in the Quintana deal with Jimenez. How important, the average lifespan of a pitching coach in the bigs is like that of a housefly sometimes. How important will Don Cooper, who's been important forever, how important will he be in the development of these young pitchers?
Very. And you know what? The interesting part about it is a pitching coach can only do so much, Tiny. But what they do is they give you a lot of confidence. And it's a guy that you can go to and you can vent to and you can talk to. And it's really key early in a guy's career that he's with a guy that's calm. And listen, Don Cooper's one of the best in the business. And if he can't see it and get it done, it more than likely won't get done with this cast of characters. It's not Don Cooper's fault if it doesn't work. It's so important. You need to be like a psychologist, a dad, a friend, a brother. You've got to know when to kick a guy in the rear end. You've got to know when you put your arm around him. And you've got to try to keep it simple. And it's hard to do in this day and age where they're throwing a lot of analytics and a lot of numbers at young players and young pitchers. You're trying to take in so much information, and sometimes so much so that you can't get out of your own way. And so I think it's really key with the young pitchers to keep it simple, throw strikes, work quick, pitching advantageous counts. It's easier said than done, but a guy like Don Cooper, I'm sure that's what he's preaching.
Dan, let me ask you one more question before you roll. Maybe here has one more too. But the White Sox have had eight guys close out ball games this year, eight of them. And of course, Joaquin Soria now gone to the Brewers. So they're going to try to continue to figure this out. Thiago Vieira, young guy, got a chance on Saturday night. How hard is it to do that versus come in the seventh and the eighth in your mind? I mean, are those three outs that different from a Dan Plesac point of view?
They are, but we've seen that teams have made bullpens on the fly going into spring training. Teams don't know who that guy's going to be, and the way they're using guys now, high leverage in the seventh and the eighth inning, you would assume that if a guy can come in high leverage in the seventh and the eighth, but here's the thing. There's no safety net. In the seventh inning, when you're down, when you're up a run, and you give up a run and a game is tied, you still have a couple at bats and you don't feel like you've lost the game. The team isn't deflated. But when you do that in the ninth inning and the game gets tied, for example, I was watching a little bit of the Rockies-Brewers game today. The Rockies have had just a dreary time. They're up 4-2 going into the ninth. They've blown two in a row. And then Adam Ottavino, wild pitches the tying run. It tied at 4-4. And just the whole, you could feel the air just come out of the Rockies. And it's so deflating. It's one thing giving up a run to tie a game in the seventh, but it's another thing giving up a run and tying a game in the ninth. And it's a special breed. It's a different breed of cat that can do that in the ninth inning and shake it off and come back the next day.
Dan, what can we see on MLB Network tonight if we're watching you?
We're going to go over basically what happened in the day of baseball. I'm going to do my top three bullpens in the National League because, you know, that seems to be the big thing right now. The Pirates made some changes. We're going to talk a little Buccos, a little Cubs. We're going to talk a little White Sox, too. So on 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central Time, I'll be on with Ken Rosenthal and Tony Luffman, MLB Tonight.
I like the way you diversify your program.
We try to. We try to do that. That's what we try to do, Harry. We try to do it and try to do it the right way.
Dan, when you wake up in the morning, you just bound out of bed right into a jumping jack. That's what I'm envisioning.
No. It depends on if I bogey the first hole. Now I'm throwing clubs. No. No. I love what I do. I have a passion for what I do, and hopefully that it comes across that way. You guys have been great to me, and it goes both ways.
Do you wake up still to your Hawk Harrelson alarm clock?
Damn, I wish I could cuss right now. Mercy. Wagner, he threw him out. What in the hell are you doing,
what
Wagner?
What are you talking about, Wagner?
You're the best.
Chopper, two hopper.
Okay, you got it, guys. Be good.